Okay, good morning. Thanks to each and every one of you for being here on this beautiful morning, which is the 26th of Tammuz, the 9th of July, and we are very happy to be studying the Sefer Olam Hamidos from Rav Moshe Don Kestenbaum, who was a Rebbe in the Waterbury Yeshiva, and who has a lot of insight to offer us, collecting from classic sources as well as from wisdom, from real-life application, guiding and counseling people in our time. So we're on page Peches, in a section called Olam HaKina, the world of jealousy. The Sefer is divided, he calls it Olam HaMidos, the world of Midos, and then he has sections on each respective Midah, some of them being positive, some of them being negative. It's similar to the Sefer Archos Tzadikim, which is a Sefer actually anonymously written from a long time ago, but it also takes each Midah and analyzes it individually. You may recall when we studied the Chazon Ish's work, Emuna Bitachon, he said there's no real such thing as being great in one area of Midas and not in another. Because really, either a person is committed to working on character or not, and usually that just means I've been tested more in one area than another. I may more naturally be benevolent, but not be good in a different area. So if it seems like I excel, or a person is very good in ritual law, but not good in interpersonal law, that might likely mean that he hasn't been tested. Really, we're supposed to be working on all things in parallel. However, he does concede himself that it is helpful when you're trying to work on things to break them up into different topics. But really, we should be progressing on all fronts. Simultaneously, you say, "Oh, I'm really, really good at Bein Adam LaChaveiro, but I'm not into Bein Adam LaMakom." So, you know, then there's something not correct about my approach. But it is helpful to understand each meet that we do study them individually. So let's see what he says about kina. First section: How kina motzius adam min haolam. Jealousy drives a person from the world. Amru Chazal. Chazal stands for Chachamenu Zechronam Levracha. Our wise men of blessed memory said in the fourth chapter of Pirkei Avos, "Hakina v'hatava v'hakavod motziyan es ha'adam and ha'olam." Jealousy, desire, and honor means pursuit of honor. In fact, the Rambam there puts in those words, drive a person from this world. I'll mention the Svarno in his commentary on Pirkei Avos says, because these are all areas that are endless. They're all encompassing. They become so engrossing. It's one thing if a person has a particular weakness or yetzahara, but it's confined. But jealousy overtakes a person. He wakes up in the morning thinking about, why don't I have that person who's very hedonistic, always looking for desire. Everything he's doing is really, how can I get that to fulfill desires? Kavod, a person who has great need for everybody to honor him, it becomes overwhelming. It leaves no space in life for anything else, and therefore drives a person from the world because pursuits of the things he really should be doing are not there. So that's a phrase from Pirkei Avos. Upirush HaTeferes Yisrael. HaTeferes Yisrael is a commentary on the bottom of the page in the classic Mishnayos. You open up with the classic, the standard Mishnah is called Yachinu Boaz. HaTeferes Yisrael is the classic commentary in the bottom. So he says, Shezekoi al Shnei HaOlamos. This refers to both worlds, Olam HaZeh v'Olam HaBa. It drives a person from this world and from the next. In fact, I'll mention, this fits in very well. One of our great Rishonim, he's known as the Tashbitz or the Rashbitz, Rabbeinu Shimshon ben Tzemach. He's often called the Tashbitz because his sefer is called the Tshuvos Shimshon ben Tzemach, the responsa of. But his name is Rabbeinu Shimshon ben Tzemach, was one of the great Rishonim. And he points out there are three, I believe there are only three phrases in Pirkei Avos, or three Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos that refer to driving a person from the world. This is the third. So he says, in order for them not to be contradictory, this drives a person from the world, that drives a person from the world. No, it's the third thing that drives a person from the world. He says, not to be repetitive or overlapping, he said the first one drives a person from this world. It talks about if he doesn't get along well with people, so that drives a person from this world. The second one, which I'm forgetting right now what it is, drives a person from his share in the world to come, and this one is both. This one, it ruins everything. So they're not repetitive, they're not overlapping, each one's different. So as the Teferes Yisrael says, it drives a person from both worlds. What do we mean by that? Olam Haba, it ruins his share in the world to come. Shakina goremes lo lavar kam averos, because jealousy causes him to sin, to violate many transgressions. Kamo geneva, loshen hara va'od, theft, loshen hara, I can't bear that other people have and I don't have, so I resort to illicit means of getting what I want. I can't stand that other people are held in esteem or have other things, so I'm a Baal Lashon Hara. So it makes him a sinful person. If he's jealous, it makes him a sinful person, which obviously is not good for attaining what we want our souls to be. That's Olam Haba. The Olam Hazeh, but even in this world, it drives him from this world. Shechayev Maleim Tzahar Hakina. His life is filled with the pain of jealousy. What kind of a life is it? Would you say that a jealous person... In other words, it would be one thing if you tell me that a person has a certain negative trait, so he's destroying his share in the world to come, but at least he enjoys this life. But it's not even that, which, I mean, that wouldn't be too good in the first place, but it's not even that, because a jealous person is in misery. I think I'll quote it soon, but the famous pasuk in Mishlei, Rekav Atzamos Kina, jealousy is like the rotting of the bones. It's like he has no health, his whole life is miserable. He quotes in the next line. Also, because of his jealousy, he's never happy with his lot. What do our sages teach us? What is wealth? Being happy with life. He's never happy. A jealous person is, by definition, unhappy. Shlomo said in Mishlei, Rekav Atzamos Kina, that jealousy is the rotting of the bones. It has the connotation that there's no inner health. V'amru Chazal. Our sages say, "Kol mi sheyesh lo kina b'libo, atzmos of markivin. Kol she'ein lo kina b'libo, ein atzmos of markivin." A person who has a particular reference there, but a person who has jealousy, his bones rot. A person who doesn't, his bones are healthy and don't rot. Let's elaborate. Midas hakina, matzvi har be'yosim mimasha anuchosha. So that first paragraph was very comforting, because everybody says, "Oh, thank God, I'm not like that." So could we go to the next section? I'm walking around. Hopefully we're not all miserable people hoping that no one else should have anything. But as he says now, the trait of jealousy is more existent. Every time I have the word matzoi, I'm tempted to lapse into my yeshivis. It's mer faran. My rabbi used to say faran. It means it's found, right? Matzui means it's found. Doesn't quite translate it to English so well, but it means it's common. It's more... what's the word I'm looking for?
Prevalent.
It's more prevalent. It's more existent than people think. Kimo Shlomo Melech Milamdeinu beKoheles. As Shlomo Melech says in Koheles, "Varisi anis kol ha'amol was kol kishron amasa ki hikines ishmirehu." Koheles is the ultimate statement of, you know, what's going on in the world and why people behave the way they do. And he says much of it, or he actually says all of it, is it's jealousy of man from his friend. So let's see what that means. Habegodim, habatim, hamachonios, clothing, houses, cars, kol echad rotza shiyula, lechol hapachas tovim kemo shel chavero. Everybody wants to have, at least, that it should be good, like what his friends have, im lo yosu tovim, if not better. So what he's saying is, even if it isn't a jealousy of, I can't bear to see someone else have, but we do define our baseline, what should be expected, what I should have, is because that's what others have. Which to a certain degree is, a reality and almost unavoidable. Sometimes we advise, if people live in a society and they want their kids to live a very different way, that becomes very challenging because the kids see what's around them, even if they're not jealous per se, but that's what everybody has. It's very hard. In fact, in societies where you have people of different socioeconomic classes living together, it becomes challenging. It happens in the Frum community and places. It's hard to exist where other people have more. So he says, Teda Shekein Hu. So again, the Sefer is written with a certain audience as the primary audience, but he gives an example. Shari B'mei HaKayitz Kasher Harbe Anashim Holchem LeBungalow Colony. That's what it says.
Bungleet?
Bungalow Colony. Af Shechosu Shem Harbe Tanugi Habayiz Einam Mislonenim Alzeh. Even though they're missing many of the comforts of home. I mean, you do have a phenomenon. There are many people who live in a comfortable home 10 months a year and then be very happy to go to a bungalow. The truth is, the bungalows are becoming more elaborate. But at least it used to be, people would go away to something that was very, very, yeah, much more primitive. In fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he talks about there is a halacha that if you rent a house, if you rent a domicile outside of Israel, technically the halacha is you have 30 days to put up the mezuzah. Mm-hmm. in Israel, even a renter is supposed to put up right away. Whenever you buy a house, you're supposed to put up right away. But if you're renting in the diaspora, you have 30 days. However, some poskim say that was talking about where it would take 30 days for you to be sure you're even going to stay there. I'm not buying, I'm renting, and if I don't like it, I'll move somewhere else. So some poskim say that nowadays, the way we rent, where you sign a lease, and it's pretty secure, and it's comfortable, you really should put them up the first day, and on the 30th day, touch the mezuzahs and make a bracha. But you should put them up right away. So Rav Moshe Feinstein wants to give an example of where the old halacha would be relevant, where you could really wait to the 30th day. He says, a bungalow, you know, because there, you know, they put me in this bungalow, it's a dive. If the one across the street opens up, I'll gladly, you know, take my 1.5 suitcases and move across the street and move over there. So he gives a bungalow as an example of a more kind of a transient. So in Rabbi Kestenbaum's example here, he says, people live with great comfort, but then they're very happy to go to a much less comfortable residence for a couple of months. To the contrary, they spend money to exist there. Because everybody's the same. But if I lived in that dive and everybody around me lived in something that were much nicer, it would be harder to swallow. You know, sometimes you also see what the expectation is in certain places, how much space one can possibly have for a residence is very limited, but it's the real estate's very expensive, and that's what everybody has, and that's how everybody exists. But if you had the same amount of space in a different place, it would be intolerable. I couldn't accept it. But here, that's the way everybody exists. So, to some degree, things are defined by this is what everybody else has, so that's fine for me. But if it's what I have is less, then it's no good. But if he was living in a bungalow in a whole colony of houses, if he had to live in that kind of a domicile in his city, I mean, it's a particular example, but it illustrates the point that things, is this acceptable, is sometimes defined, well, what does everybody else have? And almost all that we think that we quote unquote need is to some degree defined by jealousy. If we don't get what we want, I'm less than the other guy. We can probably all think of areas or examples where we could subsist on very little. But if everybody else has more, if that's not the baseline that's accepted in society, then it's intolerable. Amna, Misha Yachal Shalola Damos es Atzmo La'acherim. The truth is, I'll say, it's good to live independently, both in terms of your minimum and your maximum. Sometimes we do this in spirituality, too. And everybody else is living a spiritual bungalow, so I'll develop myself as a bungalow also, whereas you may have a capability of doing much better. So we're supposed to take ourselves away. We're supposed to be part of society, but also take ourselves away from the world we're in and think independently of ourselves, too. So a person who could not compare himself to others with lakar hakina miliba and a brute trait of kina from his heart, ein latara goda hasimcha shimatzim mechayev. One can't describe the great joy he'll find in his life. Harevada yimtza sipuk v'simcha gadol mikol mashiyeshlo. He'll find satisfaction and joy in everything he has. Va'yidekein yizkel ashirus nora. He'll merit awesome wealth. Our Chacham say, who is wealthy? Somebody who's happy with his portion. Unhappiness comes from, because, you know, other people have more, other people have it better, this thing is no good. Instead of focusing on all the brachos, well, those aren't brachos because everybody has them. Niten o dogma. We'll give another example. Haros hakoach v'ashekar shalkina. To show the power and the falsehood of jealousy. Netar latzmenu she'asher gadol bol ir katan shalchamishim yehudim. Imagine an apocryphal scenario. A great wealthy person comes to a city, there's 50 yidden there, machrish yitin akolach bayis b'matana. I'm going to give everybody a gift, a house. Folks, you've been working hard in life, you know, I feel like you deserve something, not something small. Everybody's going to get a house. Okay, good news today. I'll wait till after the 3 weeks, maybe it's not appropriate. But there's a little problem. I have 49 nice ones, like custom stuff, good stuff. One of them is prefab, you know, just kind of mediocre. Sorry. L'shara batim farm el katzas garum. One of them is a little bit less. It's like a class. This is like a, I don't know, a Hitchcock story or something. Emnuchel etar hech yagish osa echet shenachlu begarol habayis hazol. Can we begin to imagine the unfortunate lot of the person that fell to his lot, the quote-unquote cheap house, all is cheap. Haretovlo emlobo osa usher le'ir would have been better if that person hadn't come to the city klaluklal at all. Be better if he didn't come at all. And there are many stories like that where something comes that's actually a bracha, but because there's a jealousy aspect there, it would have been better if the whole thing hadn't come up in the first place. The painful irony happens with inheritances, happens with all kinds of things. Sometimes when you give gifts, right? Chazal warn us based on the story of Yosef and his brothers, don't give one gift larger than the others because you create jealousy. I remember when I was in high school, when I was in Rabbi Beryl Wine's yeshiva, I think he was dealing with a case where there was a fight over an inheritance, and he said if the parents had known what this would have caused, and the family would have given it all away. Sometimes it's like that. So the Aruch HaTzaddikim, which again is a classic Musar Sefer, people don't know this, but I mentioned this once, it was originally written in Yiddish, actually. The Hebrew looks very natural, but it's actually a translation. So he also, that's a sefer that's broken up the same way as different midah. So in the Shar HaKinah, in the same section, the parallel section, the Aruch HaTzaddikim, Moshel Lachomed V'Kanoi Shepogav HaMamelech. This is a parable that's very painful and very poignant. Chomed means a desirous person, like the word chemda, lo sachmod, right, to desire, and a kanoi is a person who has the midah of kinah. So we'd say it's a good word for a person who's filled with desire, a very a coveting person and a jealous person met a king, v'amalahem, and the king said to them, the king has all the wealth at his disposal, echad mikem yishal davar m'meni v'yinasin lo, one of you, ask for something, ask for anything and I'll give it to him. But there's just one condition. But then the second guy gets double. Whatever you ask for, your friend's going to get double. Terrible. What could be worse? The jealous person who didn't want to ask first, he can't ask for anything because he knows what's going to happen. Imagine, God forbid, I'll ask for something and he'll have double. What could be worse than that?
I have an idea.
Huh? That's right. So and the Chomed, he also wants a lot. Docha kachomed es hakanoi l'shol sadiq. The Chomed, one guy pushed the other guy to ask. Shola lenakelo ayin achas ulachaver shtayim. So he said, poke out my eye. Poke out one eye. So the other guy should get two. Adkan devarav. That's the parable from the Achos Tadikim, obviously driving home the point that jealousy is so awful that the best thing he could think of was just something that his friend should have it worse. He couldn't bear to see his friend having it better, so he couldn't ask for anything positive. There's so much. The good news is I don't think it happened. Don't try this at home. But that's kosher kamoves kina, that jealousy is a bed like death. Look how it destroys everything. We see before us how far these things go. So now we get into specifics. Kina begashmias, jealousy within the material world. Mahi hargoshes hakina. What is the feeling of jealousy? Zehu hatzar v'hakas shemargish mishum sheyesh lo pachas mechaveru. It's the pain and the anger that he feels because he has less than his friend. Ve'eza inyan sheyeh, in whatever matter it might be. Sidebar, that's a good yeshivish expression. Be'eza inyan sheyeh. People say, yeh, sheyeh, however it might be. V'nechalak es ha'inyan l'shnei chalakim. We can divide this into two categories. Kinas ha'gashmias v'kinas ha'ruchnias. Jealousy in the material and jealousy in the spiritual. You already have to be at a certain level to be jealous of that which is spiritual. Some people have never been jealous of anything spiritual in their lives, but that's not necessarily a good thing. It just means that they don't think of those terms. Kina v'dvarim gashmiyim. On the flip side, yetzaharas that operate in holier realms are more destructive. So I should think, keep that in mind too. So kina v'dvarim gashmiyim, jealousy in material things. L'moshel miyesh l'chaver yosu nechosam yimenem l'chein mekan v'nechosam. He has more property, more wealth than I do, so I'm jealous. To'os godol to'a hamakane. the jealous person is making a big mistake. What's his goal in life? In Ritzan Elias Ashir, if he wants to be wealthy, and he's not happy with the lot that Hashem has given him, move on. So it's understandable that he has pain from this. Something is, I'm not at ease with something in my life. But why should he be further pained by the fact that someone else is wealthy? In other words, if somehow a person feels that what he has currently is not sufficient, what does the other person have to do with it? Would you be happier if he lost his wealth? So now it's good. Misery needs company. Now he'll be poor like me. On the other hand, if I am able to be happy with what I have in life, he's saying, whichever way you look at it, like we say in Mamonoshach, if you aren't happy, the fact that he has more doesn't make it any worse, any better. And if you are happy, the fact that the other person knows, I should judge my own lot in life unto itself and not in comparison. How garua means really like ugly, unbecoming. What an unbecoming trait of the soul it is to desire that only he should have good. My friend shouldn't. They tell a story about Rishal Salanto. I never saw it in any real source, but that he was watching two kids. Each one wanted to be taller than the other. So one of the little kids, one of them was jumping up, and the other one went to push the other one down. So the one who's pushing the guy down won't become anything. The one who's jumping up, he can become something. The way you want to be great is by elevating yourself. That's good. That's the way I'm going to be great is by pushing everybody down. So where does that come from? V'chein v'chol kina. The same is true with all jealousy. Tzarech luskar. You have to remember, the memanavshach. Memanavshach is a Gemara term. Literally means from what you want. Mima, from what? Nafshach. In Aramaic, nafshach, it means your soul, but it means like your desire. Nefesh in Aramaic means like what you want. It means whichever way you want to look at it. Whichever way you want. But we use it to mean like, no matter how you look at it. He's not happy with what he has. Manasa. So what can we do? That's unfortunate. But why should he be more pained by the success of his friend? And if per se he has what to be happy about, why does it disturb him that his friend has more? I was happy in life until I discovered that someone else had more. Why? This is the truth. Great people really look at things independently. They look at each person as an olam mole. I'm always impressed when you see accounts of how Gedolei Yisrael are great, great chachamim. I'm so impressed when a young person, that boy made a siyum, or that he said a good shetel at Dvar Torah, and they're blown away. What do you mean? You spent decades and you have gaonus of jinn. But everything that a person has is great. I have what I have, he has what he has. Everything should be celebrated unto itself. That's on the spiritual side, which we'll come to soon. This is the fundamental error of the jealous person. The fact that he compares himself to his friend. There is no, tacharus means competition. There's no competition. Why did this become a competitive sport? A person who can, again, the word mashrish means to lay roots, we'd say in English, to inculcate within his heart this thing. Certainly will not fall into the snare, the trap of jealousy. It's not, no comparison. Yesh od nekud of midas akedah. There's another point regarding jealousy. Shekama shenerid laomka. That all the more that we will get down to its depth, nira shehi ena davar sichli bachlal. We'll see that it's not a logical thing at all. It doesn't make any sense. There's no seichel in it. Im hamakane beemes yiska lahasig yoser mechavero, heich yuchel lismoach. If the jealous person really will manage to achieve more than his friend, right? He thinks his whole unhappiness in life is because I have a little bit less. As soon as that day comes, that day that seems so elusive, but it'll come one day when I'll have more than you, now I'm going to be happy in life. It's not true anyway. Then he opens up Forbes, I don't know, Fortune 500. What do you know? Someone else actually has more than that. That's the end of all of his happiness. Ve'od lama makanias chaver be'iro halo yosef nachan shishneim yekane begvir zeh shadar be'ir. So, and why look at that person? Let's expand our geographical search. You'll always find somebody who has more. Ela hakina enu davar sichlus. The answer is it's not logical at all. If we're going to apply logic, so why look here? Why look there? It's not logical anyway. Pitoli rak bedasa adam b'mihu bochur ledamos atzmo. It's all dependent on a person's decision, who he decides to compare himself to. V'im yivchar shelo ledamos atzmo l'shum adam. So I mean, let's make the argument ad absurdum. Right? Sometimes you're supposed to like play out a game fully and see what conclusion you reach. Right now I'm comparing myself to Mr. X. But wait a minute, let's say theoretically I've managed to exceed Mr. X, but then I'd compare myself to Mr. Y. But why limit myself to Mr. Y? And then you start playing it out. Wait, so there's no limit to who I can compare myself to, and therefore I'll never be happy, so maybe I should, if I'm the one in control of who I compare myself to, maybe I should compare myself to no one but myself. And that just became an easier game. That's what he's saying. So a person who trains himself not to compare himself to anybody, or if he'll always compare himself to someone who has less. It's funny, I'm learning the Sefer with the men just this morning. We quoted a Gemara in Nedarim about when Rabbi Akiva got married and his father-in-law didn't want his daughter marrying a Talmud Chacham. They were very, very poor. And the Gemara describes the extent of their poverty, that basically they were sleeping in the straw. And somebody came, knocked on the door. It was actually Eliyahu HaNavi disguised, who was begging for some straw. So Rabbi Akiva said, look how wealthy we are, we have straw. So everything is, if you only compare, that's exactly what he was doing. He was only comparing himself to someone who had less. And the Rashi and the Mefarshim say that Eliyahu HaNavi was doing that to make him feel good. Because it's hard to imagine somebody having less when you have that little. But he sent him an agent to make him feel that.
So is this just in the physical realm?
So the next section, he divides it into two, but he's going to talk about spirituality too.
So the comparing yourself to no one else would just be in the physical realm? Because I would think in the spiritual realm, which we'll get to, it's good to compare yourself to other people.
Yeah, it depends what it does. Basically, jealousy that makes us do better is a good jealousy. But jealousy because I don't want the other person to have is not a good one. A lot of what we do, the Rambam says a person should dwell in a society of good people, and if you can't find one, move, you know, if there's none, go live on a mountaintop. That's because to some degree we define ourselves by those around us. So, I mean, I've mentioned in the past, that's a little bit of the theory behind Beis Medrash. When everybody's learning and everybody's doing something, you want to do the same. Everybody's staying up late and studying Torah. A lot of things we do are based a little bit on competitive performance. So if it drives me to do good also, that's great. But if I wish the other person wouldn't be doing that, so then I wouldn't look bad, and then I wouldn't have to, that's the wrong kind of jealousy. A lot of people cause jealousy themselves by the fact that they're always interested, right? Matanyen means interested in the business of their friends. What's he worth? Oh, he sold you. Okay. Like, people are always interested. Everybody got to know what everybody else is doing. They have to know how much money so-and-so has. What for? What's the benefit in knowing the business of, right, this whole industry in our world, knowing everybody's business and, you know, who did this? And everybody's got to know what's going on. Hello, Rock Gorman Kinalatsum. All they're doing is causing jealousy to themselves. It's worthy to point out. Most of the material jealousy that people have, it's because he's focusing on one detail in which his friend was blessed. Without recognizing the whole picture. We on the pavement looked at him, Richard Corey. I don't know too many of the lines from that poem, but that's a famous poem. Yes. About everybody was jealous of this wealthy person, and he wasn't happy at all.
Yeah,
that's right. What's it comparable to? I'm jealous about someone who has very nice eyes. But after panav shal chaver zainav in a yafikim opanav, but you have a nicer face. Oh, he has nice eyes. cut off your face in spite of your eyes. Achurotzu miskani b'naim shachar. But he wants his friend. He's giving a silly example. But he wants his friend's eyes. Yachadim apanim shalav. He's just giving an example. You want one thing. I always wanted blue eyes, you know. So you want one thing, the person I want the other circumstances, I want what I have, but I want that thing that he has. That's what we're usually doing. We don't want the whole picture. Is that person so much happier in life? Oh no, he's not. I just want his wealth. I don't want all the tzar, you know. Kena davar etzlenu. So is it with us. In this bonein b'habrochas hamiyuchadu shabot nisbarachna. If we would contemplate the special blessings with which we were blessed, lo nipol chas v'shal l'midas hakina. We wouldn't fall, God forbid, to the trait of kina. When we do feel jealous of others, we should ask ourselves, do I really want to switch with him and live his life? Or am I looking at one detail? I wish I had that. And even if you see that for that person, Hashem is a term, it literally means the time is playing for him. It means things are going well. Things are going well. It's often used by Chazal with regard to Rishoyim. When you see a Rosh Hashah, Hashem is a Chekeslo. It's an evil person, he's corrupt, he's this, he's that, and it looks like everything is good, but it's not a lasting circumstance. B'derech klal, zeu mishum she'eni yodea kol nisyonosav. Generally, when you look at somebody else and you think, oh, everything in his life goes well, it's usually because you don't know all of his challenges. Nobody really knows what's going on. But the other person, Kamosha Amar Admar Mikotz Zecher Tzadok Kodesh L'Racha, the great Kotzk Rebbe, Menachem Mendel of Kotzk, and it's a chiddush to me that he said this. I thought this was just like a folk saying, but he says it's attributed to the Kotzker. In Kol Echad Yosim Chaviloso Al Ashulchan Ha'Adam Yichachar L'Kachas Chavila Shelo. You see, he uses the word pekala. He once said that if you gather people around, he still told everybody, take your lot in life and put it in the middle of the table. And then everybody can take back whichever one they want. Everybody go and take back exactly the one they have. Because it's the whole pekala. It's the whole picture. I think at a deep level, part of that is also because deep down we sense that our calling, each of our individual respective calling, is to live with the pekala that we have. We feel a sense of accomplishment and kinyan, and that's what's designated for me. The divine will is not for me to take your pekala and you to take mine. I think deep down we sense, yeah, this is my challenge. It has its difficulties, but that's where I'm supposed to thrive. I think deep down we sense that. Ve'od yisera mizu, more than this, etzem ha'goshos ha'kina yesh b'zeh taina chas v'shalom k'neged Hashem. Let's think of another negative aspect of jealousy. The very feeling of jealousy, within it, there really is a very... audacious claim against God. Shemisraim al midos of Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. Misraim means like to complain, like in a strong way. Midos, which can mean traits, but it can also mean like the allocation, the way Hashem set up the world. Lama nasata l'chaveri kach v'kach v'loli. Why do you give him this and not me? Like if you read the book of Eov, it's like, do you understand how the universe was created? Do you sustain every cell and every atom and every molecule and the cosmos? And Hashem says, like, I did a pretty good job of setting things up, but the way I set you up is no good. I erred. I got it wrong. It's like when we complain against the way Hashem set things up, we're really not thinking. What a chutzpah. There's a psukimini of where were you when I created the snow? Like, were you there? There's that famous account of that the Vilna Gaon uses when the Malachim were complaining. In fact, this is apropos to Tisha B'Av because we have a kinnah about this. But when the Asara Ruge Malchus, when the great rabbis were in the time of the Tanoim were tortured. So it says that the angels complain to Hashem, and Hashem responds, if I hear another word, I'm going to turn the world back to tohu vavohu. I'm going to throw the world back to its primordial, you know, its pre-creation state. So what does that mean? Is that Hashem having a temper tantrum? His cabinet is complaining, the malachim are complaining, he says, if I hear another word, I'm going to blow it all up. That's... Midrashim always put very deep ideas couched in very simplistic terms. So when you read it, that's what you think he's saying. Of course, it can't be. So the Vilna Gaon explains with a mashal that a person goes to a tailor, he buys some textile, he wants to have a suit made, he buys the material and goes to the tailor, and the tailor takes his measurements and he makes him a suit. He comes back 2 weeks later and he picks it up. It fits very nicely. He says, okay, where are the remnants? And the tailor says, there are none. He said, what do you mean? I gave you a lot of material. Where are the remnants? He said, I used it all. You don't understand. You have to fold and you have to cut. So the man says, I don't believe you. He says, do you want me to prove it? He says, yeah. He says, okay, well, I'm going to have to undo it. So he takes out a razor and he starts cutting and starts laying it out. And he cuts here and actually it's folded over. And lo and behold, it's all there. He said, oh, good. Now you're happy. Yeah, I'm happy. He said, now you don't have a suit. So Hashem says, if you would understand how I made the world, if you want me to undo everything, if you could understand all that, you could understand why it's just and why there's suffering, but I made a world that no being, not even the Malachim, can really understand why it is the way it is. I would have to undo it in order to show you how it is, and I really psukim to that effect. And it's a lot easier to say that than to internalize it, but that's really what we're supposed to contemplate when we're complaining. Why does he have better than me? We're questioning the hashgacha of Hashem. We have to strengthen ourselves in our belief. Everything Hashem does is for the good. That's a famous phrase and rule from the Gemara and the Brachos. Tachliso shel kol echad meshunu mishel chavera. The ultimate goal. Tachlis is the ultimate goal. From the word Kaf Lamed Hey in Hebrew, called about Vayachal Elokim Bayom Hashvi. Hashem is creating the world. Vayachal means an end. Tachlis means the end goal. It's a word that means both end and goal. When we say we have a tachlis, we're not talking about my goal for the next 5 years. We're talking about our ultimate purpose. Every person has a different tachlis. V'lochein matzava mashuna. And that's why his respective circumstance is different. Every person comes to this world to serve Hashem in what he has and what he doesn't have, with the advantages and with the disadvantages. With his blessings and with his hardships. It's not the right mood music, I don't think. almost right. Everybody has to recognize that all that he has, that's his chelak, that's his goral from Hashem. And what his friend has, that's his share. And it follows automatically, it follows naturally that there's no place for jealousy. There's a tefillah. We say it only on the Yom Narayim, really, but it's some people say it after the Shemona Esrei every day. Elokayad shalonu tzarti eini chadai. My God, before I was created, I wasn't worthy. And now that I've been created, I'm still not worthy. That's the second part. But in the phrase, Elokayad shalonu tzarti eini chadai, before I was created, I wasn't worthy. Rav Kook has a famous teaching. He said, what that means is, in all of the years of the universe until now, and all the places I could have lived, all the times I could have lived, I wasn't meant to exist in any of those times. That's closer. I wasn't meant to exist in any of... I thought they only called me during my shiur.
Does she turn off?
No, she left a message. That's all the person.
Okay. If I were meant to exist 500 years ago, Hashem would have put my neshama there. If I were meant to exist in Provence in 1100, I would have been there. If I were meant to live in Nahardo in the year 500, I would have lived there. But if I was put, my neshama was put here, now it's because that's where I was meant to be. So I shouldn't be, if only I had that circumstance or this circumstance or, different scenario. Yeah.
What about the concept of Gilgulim?
Right, so that... That can mean if my neshama was meant to have three challenges, so it was meant to be there, it was meant to be there, but right now I'm meant to be here. Whatever is unfinished, we do have a concept of Gilgulim, of reincarnation, which for a lot of history was considered a secret. Kabbalah seems to have revealed that it does exist, but the idea is that a person has what to finish. But right now, what I need to do, Hashem put me here to finish up what needs to be finished up. There's a concept in Hasidus. It's an interesting thing. It used to be a yard site. The day when somebody passed, it's not a happy day, right? It's a day where many people fast. It's not a happy day. But in more recent times, people make a tikkun. But they make like a little bit of a celebration of the neshama. right? People have, they have some make a lechayim and they have some cake. So why is that? So some have explained, in the earlier generations when souls were further from having reached their full tikkun, they haven't completed everything, so there was only the sadness of death. As we're getting closer, we hope, to the ultimate time, so more the neshamas are completing their job, so there's a little bit more of closure, there's a little more of a satisfaction. I don't know who says that exactly, but it seems like a compelling explanation for why the minhag has developed in more recent times, that there's an element of celebration of the neshama, although the sadness, of course, is there, but the idea of a tikkun.
Yeah. So that also the
Hilula
idea?
Right. Yom HaDeHilula, the Zohar refers to a Yom HaHilula really means celebration. And it's another word for a yahrzeit, another day for, word for the day of the anniversary of a person's passing is Yom HaDeHilula. So why Hilula? Why celebration? It would seem, if anything, it's a sad day. It certainly has aspects of a sad day, but that's probably
Reb Shimon Ben
Yochai. We're talking about Reb Shimon Ben Yochai's Yom
HaDeHilula. Maybe it's celebrating that person's life.
Right.
The person.
Right, we just celebrate the person's life, but the day we lost the person is not a happy day.
For us.
Right.
But then it's also that the neshama should have an aliyah. Anything we can do to elevate the neshama.
Right. That's true, too. That's true. Right. That per se doesn't have to be happy. That's a calling. But why, to use a term like a tikkun, means that things are masukan, things are fixed. Yeah. Let's move on to the next section.
Before we move into that, can I ask the question about my question? Oh goodness, it goes back into something that you said. Oh, about tsar. So we would all choose our own pekel, but what if someone, like objectively, you would think that Rabbi Akiva living with straw is definitely a tsar. But let's say to him it wasn't a tsar. But let's say to Jonah it would be. I mean, to me, it certainly would be. Like, if I were living on straw mattress, it would be a tsar. But everybody looks at their own pekel and decides what's going to be the tsar and what's not going to be the tsar. I could look at yours and say, not a big deal. You could look at mine and say, oh, my goodness. And I'm thinking, mine's not so big.
I'm not sure I understand what you're
saying. So the question is, we get to decide what's bothering us.
Do we?
I would think so, because if we can look at if... Alavai. We should get to the Madrega where we say, this is for my benefit because Hashem is doing this for me. So although it feels like a tsar in this world, in the next world, this is just, I'm going to look back and I'm going to see that big picture and say, that was great. Why didn't you do that twice?
Right.
Maybe that's the whole, the suit idea of, you know, only when it's unwrapped and redone, like in Olam Haba, do we actually see the whole picture and the reason for it being like it was.
Right. I mean, are you questioning, like, what the problem is?
I'm questioning why do we view the challenges that we have in life as sorrows.
Right. I think you're already talking at the level that we're aiming for. It's like you remind me. My Shiva Reb Zalig Epstein once spoke on the yard side of Rabbi Ruchim Lubavitz, his Rebbe, and he said when Rabbi Ruchim used to give us a Musar Shmuz, when he first spoke, we couldn't understand what he was saying. He would say it, and then we'd get together afterward and try to, like, what did he mean by that? And we couldn't understand it. And then as soon as we grasped it, we couldn't understand what did he say. What did he say? He just spoke for an hour. Like, what was it? And he explained, because Musar is such that until you have it, it's elusive, it's hard to understand. But one, he was talking about how Musa really comes from within. That was his point. That's like a candle. When you light a new candle, now it burns on its own. Once you grasp it, you don't understand, like, what was the chiddush? Like, yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. How did a person talk for so long about that? That's obvious. You're talking at the level that we're supposed to attain. Yeah, if a person really lives with that munah, whatever challenge I have, that's just what Hashem designated for me to thrive. Why he gave one person one, the same one another, that's beyond us. That's partially what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking when he said to Hashem, show me your ways. And Hashem said, lo yirani ha'adam b'chai, you can't know that. But if we live with the level of faith, whatever we have is our best challenge, and it's it's in our best interest, then there really is no room for jealousy, and it really doesn't matter. I would take my pekula because that was the pekula I was given, but it's not like I had any temptation to take a different one anyway. Yeah, I think it's just hard to always feel that. Life is not easy. I point out many times that when we're supposed to say that even pain comes from Hashem, but it's still painful. Like we always use the medical muscle in all the older form. A parent takes a child to the doctor and has to get a shot. If the child has faith that the parent only does or the doctor only does what's good for me, but the shot still hurts. It just lives for the best inside. Yeah. Right, but when a person is in pain, it's not always so easy. It takes the strength of character. I've mentioned that emuna is a fluctuating. It's not a constant. The Chazon Ish made this point. We learned that in the Emunah Bitachon. There are faith communities that believe that Emunah is a binary question. Do you believe or you don't believe? It's like one or the other. Whereas for us, you could have a barometer that measures a person's faith. At times in the day when he's not doing well, it's much lower. At times it's higher. There's a story of Chaim Palozhin listening to a Musa Shmuz of the Vilna Gaon, and at one point he felt he was at one level, and at one point he felt he was at another level. It's an ongoing challenge. But yeah, I think at the highest level, like, what's the issue, right? Let's talk about jealousy and ruchnius. Kinnah b'ruchnius. Kinnah b'dvarim ruchniim. Harbe b'nei Torah nechshalim b'kinnah zu rachman l'san. Again, the Sefer was really written for yeshiva bachrim, so some of it comes from that perspective, but I think it's applicable to a person in any station in life. Many people, many b'nei Torah are nechshal. It means they stumble into a sin of jealousy. It brings them to come to despondence, yish, and it really interferes with their success. And even though people think it's a mitzvah, you're supposed to be jealous that way, right? We sort of alluded to that before. Jealousy in spiritual things is good. There's a famous concept that's referred to in the Gemara in Bava Basra, which actually has halachic application and implication. The jealousy of scribes increases chachma. What it means is we want a certain amount of competition in Torah because it increases chachma, right? Competition does cause quality, right? When you have no competitor, or if it's, the system is rigged and controlled, so I can produce very poor quality and I'm going to have business anyway. But with this competition, you have to really perform. So, kina sofrim tarva chachma. The fact that there's jealousy, this competition, sofrim is scribed, it means talmid chacham increases chachma. So somebody might point to that statement of our sages and say, you see, the jealousy is good. Okay, no jealousy when it comes to my friend's Lamborghini, but when it comes to spiritual things, it's a good thing. But Bertos Hashem Nevar Shazer Toz Gadol. We'll explain that's a mistake. There is a place where it has to be clarified. Matzoy Hadavar, it's very common. She'odam Makani B'chachmas Chaver, that a person is jealous of his friend's Chachma. She'sichlo Shal Chaver Ocharov Yosef Misichlo, that his friend's Seichel is much sharper. Sometimes you see people that are very, very quick and sharp, and you, oh, if I had a mind like that, why can't I think like that? Chaveru yochel lahamik besugios hashas bekalos. My friend is able to plumb the depths of the sugyos in Gemara easily. Lilmo veluskar masechtos harbi. He can learn and remember numerous masechtos. Vetzlo adavar kasha lilmo lahavin veluskar. And by him, the matter is very difficult to learn and understand and to remember. It comes with much more effort, and then he doesn't quite grasp it and doesn't quite remember it. I remember once when I was in Beis Medrash, I was working with a boy in 11th grade. He was supposed to prepare a chabura, and he wasn't as gifted as some of the other boys in his class. And we were preparing a piece from Naftali Trupp. Naftali Trupp was one of the great Rosh Yeshiva in Radin, and I worked with him. And there was kind of like an introductory paragraph, and then the whole meat of his chiddush, of his novel interpretation, and then there was like a summary paragraph where he kind of summed it all up. And I was working with him, and by the end I realized all we could really do was the first paragraph and the last paragraph. But you know what? He did it masterfully. He wasn't able to get all the proofs and the nuance, but he got the basic idea, which actually was summarized in the beginning to end. And for him, that was, so someone else would have breezed through the whole thing, but each person has their own share. But it makes for jealousy. Chaver lamad shalosh mesechtos b'shanachas. His friend learned 3 mesechtos in 1 year, which is a lot. He learned only a half of V'lo od el shachaver yodeya ma shalom yosimenu. His friend knows it better. He remembers it. You can ask him. I don't even remember what I learned. And this, by the way, it's impressive that this type of feelings are common in yeshivas. It means the person has yearnings, which is nice. But the problem is, without proper guidance, he's going to lead himself astray. Umahar belibo, he thinks in his heart, "Shein zayashrus." It's not right. It's not straight. Meaning, that God's distribution of intellect is not fair. Arehu amal kamo chavero, he toiled just like his friend. Lo yosir memenu, if not more. I stayed late nights trying to work it through. V'lama hu zocha yosir memenu, why did he merit more than me? Nechzei anan, let's see. That's an Aramaic term, means let's see. Ha'imu be'emes makane beruchnias shel chavero. Is he really jealous of the spirituality of his friend? And as what? No, he's feeling bad. He's upset that the other fellow is more successful, knows more, remembers more. Is that really spiritual jealousy? Halo kulona yodem shetachas chayinu labras Hashem kafi kochosayinu. We all know that the purpose of our lives is to serve God per our abilities. V'hayim yala aladash yesh laKadosh Baruch Hu yoser nachas mechaver me'asher menu. Is God more pleased with my friend more than me, the one who knows things better? Adarab, to the contrary, who amal afal pishakoshlo, if you work hard even though it's difficult for you, scharo godol minaso, your reward is greater than can even be carried. He's borrowing a phrase from Cain, where he says, godol avoni minaso, my sin is too great to bear. He killed his brother. So he's borrowing that phrase in the positive. You work so hard, even though it's frustrating, it's hard for you, your reward is greater than can be borne. V'davar baruhu, it's clear, she'ina makane beruchnias shel chaver ela b'gashmi. You know, what we're doing is we're asking this student, do you really think that Hashem is not rewarding you? Do you think Hashem is not pleased with you? The amount you end up bringing home is dependent on innate talents and other things, but you worked hard. I always told, when we're about to give out a test in Gemara or something, I always say, if you studied hard, you already got 100. What grade you actually get will depend on other factors, but if you... You know, if you gave it your all on reviewing, then you already got 100.
That's true.
So, he's not jealous of spirituality, he's jealous of something material. The honor. I mean, who's the guy who people are going to go over to ask questions to? All right, that's the guy who knows it better. Everybody gives honor to his friend because of his knowledge. He's not honored in the eyes of his friends. But Adam zeh tzarech lechazek atzmo lahakir ezes chusilo sheyochel lilmod achshav b'li ha'aracha me'acherim. This person has to strengthen himself and think about what a merit it is that he's working hard without any ha'aracha means like evaluation, without being valued by his friends. Think about your great schar. The other person at least gets a pat on the back. He gets a standing ovation for what he did. You worked harder and nobody's given you anything. No accolades. That's even more meritorious.
Can it be a setup in a yeshiva where one hand helps the other? Can you set it up that
I mean, that often is the case. He's giving a sort of a stark contrast. You know, first of all, a lot of yeshivas give reward for effort. You know, they're shocked. I don't know how much toil and so on. Yeah, certainly it is. But ultimately, people do know who's the guy who's considered the genius. And for the person who works hard and is not a genius, it can be harder.
All right, but as long as the one that is a genius doesn't say, you know, you're a schmendry.
Yeah, well, for sure he shouldn't. Then there'd be something wrong with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a Rebbe used to say, the difference between an Eloy and not an Eloy is an hour. He used to say to us, if you didn't get it right away, so an hour from now, you'll get it. So he grasped it like this, but work for an hour and you'll have it too.
Sometimes more than an hour.
Yeah, or it could be more. Shalom l'shem kavod. But think about how he's learning not for honor because he's not going to get honor. But ain safek shem yamal karoy. There's no doubt that if he'll toil properly, shalom b'sof yaseh talmid chacham choshev. He'll become a prominent talmid chacham. The truth is, you see people really develop, especially people who have to work at it very hard. Sometimes they're more systematic in their thinking. Sometimes the person who grasps everything right away, it's like the kid in math, I'm an educator, so the kids who can sort of do it all in their head, but then they reach a certain level, So whatever it is, it's algebra too. It's pre-calculated. At a certain point, you can't do it in your head. And if you're not used to working, and you're not used to taking notes, it really comes back to haunt. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the people who grasp everything sort of intuitively understand everything, sometimes they're not good rebbeim because they can't explain it. A person who thinks systematically. I don't grasp things quickly. I have to think about it. Wait, what's the Gemara saying? It's saying this. Oh, and then it said this. And then it said that. Sometimes that's the person who can teach somebody better because his thinking is more piecemeal and more, you know, you're able to follow it. So things that he might think are a challenge can actually be a bracha. V'kolzeh shamarnu, all this that we said, she'in lakanas batzlochas chaver, that one should not be jealous of his friend's success. Everything we said in Hebrew misses the filler words. Everything we said means that you shouldn't be jealous of his success. Avol ba'amelus chaveru, but in his friend's toil, tov yafa lakanos. That's good to be jealous of. Oh yeah, I'm jealous. Why does he work hard and I stay in bed all day? No, I shouldn't be jealous. Go back to sleep. No, that would be a false application of this section. If his friend is toiling and elevating himself in some area of service of God, being b'torah, being b'tfilah, being b'chesed, be it in Torah, tefillah, being the acts of kindness that he works on, al zev v'chagonda, da is zeh in Aramaic. On this and the likes of this, ne'amar kinaso from Tarvah Chachma. That's where we're saying jealousy among the scribes increases wisdom. Yes, and there's a feeling of competition. I was going to go to sleep, but everybody else is working hard, so I'm going to stay up and, you know, burn the midnight oil. That's good. We have to explain something because it seems like we see cases where this doesn't cause the elevation of a person. In many cases, it disturbs, it interferes with his elevation. He's saying our sages say that jealousy among scribes increases wisdom. And we seem to observe cases where that's not what's happening. The answer is it's two different types of jealousy. If it does in fact cause increase of chachma and the pursuit of chachma, then that is the jealousy they were talking about. But if not, then it's not kina sofer. Kina sofer means jealousy of wisdom. But you can have jealousy of a person who's wise, it looks like wisdom, but it's not really of the wisdom per se. It's kinas anoshim, it's human jealousy, below kinas sofrim. V'hadavar nivchan bazet, to be bochen means to discern, to test. The matter can be discerned with this. Ha'ima makani rak rotzu l'sa'alas v'avodas Hashem kemo chavero, o she'i gam yava al sipuko miyura she'chavero nofel m'madrigaso. He's over here, and I'm over here. What would make me happy? The only thing that would make me happy is if I rise up. That's good. But if I would also be happy if he would fall down, as long as the end result is that I'm equal to him or a little better than him, then that's not kinas sofrim. That's just general jealousy. He teaches it to us from the story of Rachel and Leah. The pasuk says that Rachel saw that she had not borne children to Yaakov and she was jealous of her sister. The famous example of the Torah speaks of jealousy. She wasn't jealous of her. I wish she wouldn't have children, and I would. She was jealous of her ma'asim tovim, her good actions. Amra ilulei shetzadka mimeni lezachsa labanim. She said, if not that she's more righteous than I, she wouldn't have merited this. There must be some area where she's more righteous than I. Upirish asifsei chachamim. In a standard Chumash, Sifsei Chachamim is a commentary on Rashi, right alongside it. There are actually over 200 commentaries on Rashi, but the Sifsei Chachamim is considered one of the most classic, that in a regular Mikros Gedolos, you'll see it's right next to Rashi. In fact, in some Chumashim, they have Iker Sifsei Chachamim. It's like an abridged Sifsei Chachamim. It's such a classic commentary on Rashi that it's right there. So he explains, Shem lo kein ha'asu lakanos. If not, how does Rashi know? The pasuk just says she was jealous. Why does Rashi say she was jealous of her good actions? That she said it must be she has more merits than I, and I should improve my game. Why? Because otherwise it would be forbidden to be jealous. If it's impossible for us to imagine that Rachel would have been jealous of her sister's children, how much more so she didn't want her sister to fall spiritually. The only jealousy was, I want to elevate. You know, sometimes you discover, wow, this person has a whole zchus, a whole area of merit that I'm not developed in that at all. That's the true type of jealousy that increases chachma. A person who gets what he's seeking when he sees his friend fall, would that be called kinas sofrim? All right. If he really is concerned for the service of Hashem, what's our goal? That God should be served. So, I want somebody who is currently serving Hashem to stop doing that. So, I mean, that's a very selfish. That's not a jealousy of wanting to do more. That's a jealousy of wanting there to be less.
So you should be inspired when someone.
Right. That's what he said. That's the jealousy that they're referring to as good is, oh wow, I'm not really adequate. I should do more. But certainly, I shouldn't want that he should do less. Why would I want that? So therefore, if the person doesn't feel that way, it's simple and obvious that he's not really pained about the fact that his friend does more than he and he should also do that. He gets more honor. He's thought of in better terms. That's not Torah. That's kavod. Just like somebody who holds some sport in esteem and wants to be good at it. He's jealous of his friend who's better at it. Per his superficial mindset, my prominence will be measured by if I'm the best player on the team or the second best. So if he injures his ankle, now I'm great. V'kach gam ben yaneinu. So is it in our matters. Kevin shaben Torah makish ruchnius hu adavar hachoshev b'yosvel. See, here's what happens. I said before, it's a level. It's already a madrega to be jealous of spiritual things. People who don't exist in the spiritual realm are not going to be jealous of spiritual things. So it is a good thing if the place where a person feels jealousy is in spiritual matters, because that means at least he understands what's important in life. Okay, that's a level, that's a madrega. However, that doesn't get us to where we need to be. What he's saying here is, but what can happen is, now that I grew up, I used to think that football was what made me great, and now I think that being considered a Talmud Chacham, or being considered a Baal Chesed, or being considered a great leader, whatever it is, that's what makes people great. But now here again, if I want people to think of me in those terms, I used to want people to think that I was the best quarterback, now I want them to think that I'm the biggest Lamdan. But if it's about what people think of me, or it's about how I'm held, that's not spirituality. That's just jealousy of honor that's moved from one realm to another. There's a Rebbe in the Yeshua that I learned that I used to say every age has its own sandbox. Like, people are always playing, it's just a different set of toys. So every age can have its own jealousy. When I was a little kid, I thought of this. Then I thought it was the grades in school. If it's couched as something spiritual, but it really is just I want to be held in esteem in that area, that's not what Chazal were talking about. That's not good. Both people, the guy who's jealous that somebody's better in sports, the guy who's jealous that somebody's better in Torah, are really just jealous of how people are held, what esteem they're held in. So if the other guy fell down, they wouldn't be jealous. That's material jealousy. About that, that's where it says the rotting of bones is jealousy. Jealousy is the rotting of bones. When we talk about kina sofrim tara chachma, we mean that which causes you to want to elevate yourself and not be worried about how people and what esteem people hold you. Okay, we'll continue next time.
We'll be here next week.
Minutes of Shem, I think so. Where are we at? Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you, Rabbi.